Okay, give me a second here. Hey, everybody, it's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Join us each weekday at noon Eastern time as we talk about what's on our minds and all that stuff.
Okay.
I'm desperately looking for my script and I'm trying to remember.
No, I think you paused at the right time for my warning and I forgot that I was doing a warning.
Oh, okay.
I like to tell everybody that the show comes with side effects and those include jocularity, increased knowledge, and, you know, just taking a break.
Yes.
But I forgot, which actually is good because this is the perfect time for me to announce our word of the day.
Okay.
Today's perfect. Word of the day is retrograde.
Retrograde. Okay.
Means directed or moving backward.
Ah.
Another term. This is a rare use of the word. A retrograde is also a degenerate person.
Say that again. I missed.
The rare use of the word is a degenerate person.
Really? Interesting. Yes.
There's two archaic terms for retrograde. One is to go back in position or time, such as our history must retrograde for the space of a few pages. Wow. Think about that. They basically rewrite history so it'll fit in the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and our history books are terrible like that.
I know.
And not revising. Just slapping their name on the new editions.
Exactly. They just throw it in there and go with it.
Yeah, no matter what might have been found out since.
It's nuts. Retrograde started in late Middle English as a term in astronomy from the Latin retrogradus, from retro, which means backwards, and gradus means step or gradi to walk, so walking backwards. And the reason that I chose retrograde is I think we're in Mercury retrograde. Because there's been so much wacky, weird computing stuff. Curtis has been working overtime because of computer stuff. You've been having issues. I've been having issues. Yeah. Yesterday, I got a text from Jennifer. Now it's my turn for computer problems. Lynn had them last week.
You don't suppose it's a computer virus?
It could be. Well, we're not actually in Mercury retrograde yet. It starts May 29th. Oh,
okay.
However, there are moments where you, for 2 weeks prior to and 2 weeks after Mercury retrograde, you can feel the effects. And I looked up on Farmer's Almanac. Basically, it's an astronomical explanation that the sun, the planets in our solar system all orbit the sun at different distances and speeds.
Okay,
we
right.
also orbit the sun and we observe the other planets moving across the sky.
Right.
Well, from our perspective, it looks like a planet such as Mercury has stopped or switched directions and moving in the opposite direction. It's an illusion because of the way the way Earth is located in the solar system. Planets always travel in one direction. They can't just go backwards, but they call it apparent retrograde motion as it looks like the planet's moving back.
Interesting. Well, I know that it affects me and I see, because I know that when it happens, it's like just stuff. I don't know what I want to say. It's like things just are intense.
Well,
things that happen seem intense.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, the old Farmer's Almanac, I don't think they have a young farmer.
No young farmers.
When Mercury goes retrograde, we're typically confused. Things are delayed. We get frustrated. Letters don't get delivered. Email either goes to the wrong person or it just bounces. Travel plans get frazzled. But they say it's a good time to reflect on the past, and your intuition is usually high during Mercury retrograde. They have some ideas of what you should do when Mercury's in retrograde. Listen more, write, read, speak, instead of trying to communicate through text or email. Activities closely related to communication, like negotiations and contracts, can be problematic at this time. So you need to remain flexible, patient, and understanding. Allow extra time for travel. You might want to warn your sisters. Avoid signing any new contract that you don't fully understand. Before you click send on an email, double check it. And if you're taking a trip, double check your reservations. They also say wait until Mercury is direct to make final decisions. Plan ahead, have backup plans. Be prepared for other people and their miscommunication and shorter fuses. A lot of people like to blame Mercury retrograde for everything bad that happens in their life. Because like I said, you know, Mercury doesn't go retrograde until the 29th. That's 9 days from now. But people insist that it can cause problems 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after. And it does, you know, Mercury retrograde is like a 6 week period. It seems to take forever. This particular one that we're going into is from May 29th to June 22nd, not quite a month. But the 6 weeks seems, well, actually, if you add 2 weeks in front of it and 2 weeks after, that's 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, too, and it just occurred to me that the end of the Mercury retrograde this year will also be as the days start to get shorter, you know, from about that same point on. Hard to believe it's come this far, this quick, you know?
I know.
I mean, it seems like the days just started getting longer, and now we're looking at close to getting shorter again.
Well, one thing that they suggest you do during Mercury retrograde is think about where your life is in balance and where it's not in balance, and take steps to balance it out. You know, you might be working too hard in one area, not hard enough in another.
Sure.
So that's all about connections.
Well, I'm definitely feeling that. I mentioned before earlier today that I just kind of had a little of exasperation in a moment and said, I need a vacation.
I know.
That's just what I'm thinking. And this is what, maybe it's just a natural tendency to do this because I know what's coming. I don't know. I just feel like getting out to where you don't hear any of the neighbors' lawnmowers going or none of the sirens going. And, you know, it's just been a while since I heard that.
Yeah, the quiet.
Yeah.
Well, even here in the Space Coast, if you go to the beach, you're going to be hearing airplanes. There will be.
Yeah.
There'll be sky riders or the airplanes carry signs. I know recently a lot of people went to the beach specifically to watch the air show because there was an air show going on and they could see it well from there. I live really in a very cool, quiet place most of the time. We have a wildlife, I don't know if it's a preserve or conservation area. I don't know what it's called, but our property backs up to that. So it muffles a lot of highway sounds, but we do still hear them. Mm-hmm. And if the wind is blowing just right, we hear the train when the train goes through at night.
Right.
About the only place I can imagine that you could really go and not be bothered by civilization would be in the mountains.
Well, you know, I was just sitting here as you were talking about that. I was just pondering about the year I spent in Copper Mountain, Colorado, up in the Summit County. And I remember the summers were my favorite. I didn't ski. It was a ski resort, but I didn't ski. I was a fisher person. And I just remember some of those times when that ski resort in the summer was completely shut down, except for the people that taking care of it and getting ready for the winter, and out there standing beside those streams. And all you hear was just the nature. And I think that might've been the last time I did that, you know, because I mean, I spent 30 years in Jacksonville, Florida, which has got a lot of excellent, beautiful nature areas in town, but it's a huge city. I mean, it's a metropolitan area, you know. I think it's, I'm thinking it's 1 million people, and the county is the city. They're equivalent in size, and it's the largest city and landmass in the United States, and it's covered in trees and stuff, but you can get out in a tree lot, and you're still going to hear, like what you were saying earlier there, Mary, the airplanes, you know, there's always going over, there's always sirens, always like cars and things honking and lawnmowers going somewhere. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm thinking, got my ear on some peace and quiet out there somewhere.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story you've told on the show several times, and I just love it, about the Buddhist monk who wanted to get away from everybody and everything because he needed peace and quiet. People made him angry. So he got in a canoe, went out to the lake and went as far away as he could. And he was sitting there quietly meditating. And then something bumped his boat and he snapped his eyes open. He was ready to fight because he was so, who could disturb his quiet? Don't they know who he is? And what's wrong with these people? And he looked around and it was just a log, you know, just natural phenomenon that was in his world, in his space. And he just got so, I guess he got humbled at that point. I would think he would have gotten humbled.
Well, I think so. I think the first time I heard the story, it humbled me. It was like, wow, of course, that's exactly how I understand that anger, all anger is totally my own manufacture. It's in within me. It's nothing to do with the people that are causing it. I thought were causing it.
Just like happiness. You know?
Just like happiness, exactly. It's all our own creation. We can choose whatever we want. It's like magic.
You know, we get happy, sad, angry. All of our emotions really and truly come from within. And we control how we feel. And when we realize this, it makes all the difference in the world. In fact, yesterday I got a little grumpy, partly because I was tired and hungry, but I'd moved 2,400 pounds of rock by myself.
You feeling today better?
A little Aleve has helped.
Good.
But I was a little angry at one point because Curtis came out and decided to tell me that I'd done it wrong. And I was really grumpy and grumbly and
don't make somebody mad that's got a bunch of rocks laying around.
don't mess with a woman who can move 2,400 pounds of rock by herself. But he was right, of course. I mean, he came from an objective perspective and he looked at it and his suggestion was a good one. I had to step out of my ego and realize just because he hadn't been moving. I mean, I chose to move these rocks. I could have waited till you could come and help me. I could have waited till Curtis was not working, but this was something I felt I needed to do yesterday. I just needed to move my body.
Sure.
So I did. And of course now today I'm paying for it, but he wasn't wrong. And he wasn't mean. He wasn't rude with the way he spoke. He just made a suggestion. I snapped. Outside, I just said, basically, yes, dear. However, that's also a passive aggressive way of responding to people. And you can't do that.
Well, true. But you know, the whole thing about it is that the emotions, I try to make things as simple for myself as I can. So, cause I don't have to think as hard as I need to on it. But to me, emotions are like the universe talking to me, speaking to me, showing me something I need to look at. And then,
exactly.
And I can look at it, see what it is, decide what I need to do with it, do it or don't, and then let it go.
Well, I realized at that moment that was a lesson for me because I felt like he was micromanaging me. He wasn't. He was just making a suggestion. But in my mind, I thought, don't micromanage me. But that's because probably my karma is coming back from where I micromanaged other people. And I had to stop that.
Well, yeah, but you know, the fact that you recognize it, I think that's the critical element that so many folks kind of miss. You know, they go ahead and react to the anger or in anger instead of, you know, like you said, a passive aggressive yes, dear, or whatever. That was the way to go, because then it would give you time to deal with what you had to deal with and deal with it. Then you can say something productive later if you need to. Yeah. You know, that's how I deal, because it's not like you shouldn't say something. It's just for me, I've learned to maybe take a break and breathe a little bit and decide what I'm going to say later.
Breathing is so vital to controlling our emotions to getting them under control and getting them where we can understand. We have to understand what is at the base of the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're all worked up, it didn't give you time to think about anything.
Exactly. You're just you're reacting instead of responding.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I'm looking here, Mary, I think I'm going to respond to the need for us to get out of here. I want to tell everybody, thank you so much for taking a break with Gene and Mary today. Sure appreciate it. please reach out to us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com. If you have anything to say, check us out at beunique.org. Be Unique Radio has a whole bunch of 6 or 7 new shows. That's beunique.org.
That's beunique.org.
See
Bye, y'all. Everybody.
Bye.